Today is the joyful feast of the Santo Niño, a feast that is unique to the Philippines, a feast that's rich with the history and the culture and the faith of the Philippines. I hope you're joyful. It's supposed to be a joyful day. But we're not saved by history. We're not saved by culture. We're saved by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the main point of today's feast. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the main point of every feast, of every day in the church. Faith in Jesus Christ and the privilege of being his disciples. Last year, I had an opportunity to make a wonderful pilgrimage to Cebu. It was a jubilee year last year, so a year of pilgrimages. I couldn't go to Rome, but I did make it to Cebu. And the focal point of our pilgrimage was the minor basilica of Santo Niño de Cebu. Beautiful, big basilica full of people. If you've been there, you know that it's a very special, sacred place. Have you been to Cebu? Anybody? I hope you, sometime in your life, I hope you get an opportunity to make a pilgrimage to that shrine of the Santo Niño in Cebu. But in a sense, today's feast brings us all there, all to Cebu, at least spiritually. The whole country gathers at the feet of the Santo Niño today, the feast day. The reason why it's Cebu is because that's the location of the original little famous statue of Santo Niño. They're all a little bit different, so you can never tell which one is exactly like Santo Niño de Cebu, but you know they have the image of Jesus in his royal vestments, wearing a crown, holding the globe. That image was brought by the Magellan expedition to the Philippines back in 1521, and is still here. It's 505 years that Santo Niño has been here in the Philippines. There in Cebu is also where the Magellan's cross is, so that's why Cebu is honored as the cradle of Christianity in the Philippines, which is part of the history of this feast, and it's also explains why Santo Niño is so deeply rooted in Filipino culture. But as I say, history is not enough. History alone, even though it's a big advantage to have Christian history, it doesn't make us Christian. And even though it's a big advantage to have a Christian culture, that alone doesn't make us Christian. I know many people have images of Santo Niño around. They keep it in their homes. Maybe you have one in your homes, maybe more than one, or in businesses. That's very good. It's good to have devotional images. But if that's all we have, if it's just to keep an image around, if it's just a reminder of the history and the culture, or if it's just a familiar symbol of the Philippines, or if it's just a good luck charm, well then we're not really getting the benefit of it. We're not really getting the benefit of the devotion. In fact, we could be worse off, because if we're treating it with superstition, a good luck, well then that's actually an obstacle to faith. Superstition gets in the way of our being disciples of Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's not a good comparison, but Santo Niño is not the only iconic symbol of the Philippines. Another iconic symbol of the Philippines is the jeepney. And you can even buy little jeepneys if you go to tourists, buy little jeepneys and bring them home. Fine. That's a nice little thing, but you don't really get the benefit of a jeepney unless you ride in it. And we don't really get the benefit of the Santo Niño unless we have a relationship with him, with Jesus. Unless we love him, unless we pray to him, unless we follow him. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of the devotion. So if the devotion doesn't move us closer to Jesus, but to be better disciples of Jesus Christ, well then we're not getting the benefit of it. It's just a statue. Well, that's where this feast day comes in. Now, the feast day is to help us focus on Jesus, help us grow in our discipleship of following him. Today's first reading chosen for this feast day, is the great prophecy, the Old Testament prophecy, describing who this really is. Who is this Santo Niño? Who is this Jesus Christ? This passage is connected to Christmas. It's read every year at the Christmas Midnight Mass, which makes sense because this feast really is an extension of the Christmas season. I notice we still have the mga parol. I don't know if they're just left here or if they're put back up for the Feast of Santo Niño. But anyway, the parol is also a Christmas decoration. And this is an extension of the Christmas season. So we read a Christmas reading. It says here that a child is born to us, a son is given to us. That's a typical Hebrew style, saying the same thing twice in slightly different ways. But we can also apply it to the feast day here. A child is given to us, a child is born for us, that we celebrated on Christmas Day. A child is born for us, that's when he was born. A son is given to us, we can apply that to the gift of the Santo Niño to the Philippines. The gift given by Magellan to the queen or the wife of the chieftain on the occasion of her baptism. Yes, he's a child. Yes, he's the son. He's no ordinary child. That's very clear from the image. And it's very clear from the prophecy. He is Wonder Counselor. He is God Hero. He is Father Forever. He's Prince of Peace. So if we honor the Santo Niño, it's not simply because he came as a child. It's also because this child is God. He is the King, King of Kings. He is our Lord and our Savior. That's why we honor him. At Christmas time, we honor the image of Jesus in the manger. He's clearly a human baby, newly born. The advantage of the Santo Niño image, even though he never looked like that in his lifetime, the advantage is that it makes it clear that this human baby is also a king. That's why he's wearing a crown. A big crown. He's holding a scepter, holding the globe. He's a king. In the gospel chosen for today's feast, the disciples ask Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, the obvious answer is Jesus himself, and he's standing right there. But the problem is they're not really focused on Jesus. They're focused on themselves. They're the ones who want to be the greatest. They want to know how to be great. Part of human nature, isn't it? We all want to be great. We all want to be the greatest. We all want to be number one. Well, Jesus' way of answering their pretty self-centered question is a brilliant way of answering. He, instead of saying, I'm the greatest, not you, which would be true, but he doesn't say that. Instead of saying, don't think that you're so great, which would also be true, instead of doing that, he calls a child and places the child in front of them. It's a visual imagery, right? He places the child in front of them, which is actually what he did at Christmas. When he was born, he placed a child in front of us, himself. And that's what he does on this feast day too. He places a child in front of us, himself. And then he says, amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Tandaan ninyo ito, kapag hindi kayo nagbago at tumulad sa mga bata, hindi kayo mabibilang sa mga pinagkaharian ng Diyos. Tama ba? Unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Forget about being the greatest, you won't even make it. That's what he's saying. Don't worry about being the greatest. You won't even make it if you don't become like children. Now he could have said, he could have said, unless you turn and become like me. It means the same thing because he's the child. He's the example for us. Anyway, this statement, unless you turn, really puts us on the spot. The challenge is right here. Yes, we're honoring the Santo Niño, but it's no challenge for Santo Niño. He's already in heaven. No problem for Santo Niño. What about us? We're not in heaven yet. And we won't get there unless we become like children. That's what Jesus says. Unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Big, big challenge. Well, that makes us ask the question, well, what are children like? If we have to be like children, what are children like? Not very many children here today. Maybe they're still sleeping. Anyway, it's good to have children around, and we can see, children are very transparent. You can see exactly what they're like, and there's a mixture of good and bad. You know, children can be weak, and they're not very big, first of all. They're not very strong. They're not very knowledgeable. They can be selfish. They can be impatient. They can be noisy. They can be mean to each other. You know that. They can be so childish, immature, but they're naturally simple. They're naturally trusting, transparent, dependent, innocent, humble. That's just how they are. They're made that way. A few days ago, I was asked to hear the confessions, the first confessions of some children who are preparing to make their first Holy Communion. Well, these children were about 9 or 10 years old. In other words, old enough to know better, old enough to know what sin is, and old enough to be sorry for their sins and to go to confession. So that's why it's a good age to introduce them to the great sacrament of confession. So they're old enough to sin, they're old enough to ask for mercy, but they're still young enough to be quite simple and quite beautiful, quite transparent. It's a great age for a first confession because and the church is very wise to train children when they're young to go to confession, because it's easier to teach them when they're that age, when they're still simple, but before they get complicated, before they face any big temptations or big sufferings or big responsibilities, they can learn how to repent from their sins. Now, it's true that they don't have any big sins at that age. They don't have any big sins. They're not big sinners. But they're old enough to know what sin is. And they're old enough to learn how to overcome sin. How do we overcome sin? Not just by being better, but by prayer, by repentance, by relying on the mercy of God. So it was a great experience for me. Well, that little child that Jesus placed in front of his disciples was probably younger than those children that were in the first communion class that I met. So the child that he brought in front of them was probably younger, let's say 4, 5, 3 years old, who knows. Quite innocent, certainly quite dependent, quite unable to think highly of himself. And that's the way a child is. Now, this is the key for us. What comes naturally to little children does not come naturally to adults, meaning dependence and transparency and humility. No, we have to decide to be like that. That's why Jesus says, you have to turn, you have to decide. You have to, in other words, we're facing the wrong direction. We have to turn, we have to make a change. We have to make a decision to be humble, a determination to be childlike. That's our responsibility. God makes us children, but we also have to make ourselves like children as we grow, as we mature. We don't make ourselves children in size or in age or in knowledge. That would be going backward. We don't make ourselves think simply like children. That'd be going backward. But we do have to train ourselves to think, to act, to look at ourselves as children, our self-image as children, and our relationship with God as children. Because after all, we have to turn from our pride and our self-importance and our independence if we're going to make it into the kingdom. And we must welcome the truth that we are all children. We are children. Before God, everyone is a simple child. No one is free from dependence on God or knows more than God or is more powerful than God. Sometimes we act like we know better than God, and that's why we complain. But that's why we have to become more childlike, to accept that we're dependent on God. And it's a good thing to be dependent on our Father for everything. That's a good thing. It's a great quality. In fact, that's what will make us holy, if we depend on God for everything. If we're saying yes to God for everything, if we're saying, your will be done, then we're being childlike. So, on this feast day of Santo Niño, don't just carry a Santo Niño, or don't just keep the Santo Niño sitting on your altar. Be a Santo Niño. Be like Jesus Christ. Be childlike. Be accepting. Be faithful. Be obedient. Because, what does Jesus say? Whoever humbles himself like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.